Happy November. November 1st. This is Chasing the Yield. My name is Kevin Bay. And we're starting off a new month. I don't know, the older I get, the quicker the time goes by. I guess that's true for everybody. Everybody remembers the summers when they were a kid and how long they seem to last. And then as you get older, the summer goes by in the blink of an eye. So that's my depressing message for November 1st, 2021. This is Chasing the Yield. I think I already mentioned that from chasingtheyield.com. And let's see, what's going on today? Today, I'm early today, and before the market opens, I'm recording this at 9:20 a.m. Eastern. So Dow futures are up right now, so there's no market news, nothing current for me to read. Some of the headlines off the Wall Street Journal are Barclays CEO steps down amid pressure over Epstein ties. Central banks fuel new bets on tighter money as inflation rises globally. Stock futures rise, treasury yields tick higher. The COP26 kicks off amid sharp divides over climate goals. Tight race for Virginia governor, which is tomorrow. Supreme Court hears arguments on the Texas abortion law. Some of the world's last COVID-19 travel holdouts are reopening. And the Atlanta Braves lost their game yesterday, and the World Series heads down to Houston. Oh, wait, and then there was that big story over the weekend of American Airlines canceling more than 1,900 flights. That's a little crazy. A little crazy out there. I'd like to mention that you can donate to this show. There's a big red donate button on the website. There's also a big red donate button on the show notes page. And this is a value for value podcast. There's a link that explains it. And you can listen to this on an app called Podfriend and stream cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, Satoshis. Satoshis are a fraction of a Bitcoin, and you know, you can stream those while you listen. It's called the value for value model. And you can find this feature enabled on new podcast apps. It's not on Google, it's not on Spotify, it's not on Apple Podcasts. But if you go to newpodcastapps.com, you can go check out new podcast apps, and they're on both platforms, iOS and Android, and get a better podcast app where you can follow along with transcripts and chapter images and chapters. So last week, I don't know if it was a slow news week or if I just wasn't catching anything. I think I may have been a little bit all over the place last week, but Exxon and Chevron from the Wall Street Journal, they're flush with cash from rising oil prices. In the Wall Street Journal, it says the two largest U.S. oil companies, ExxonMobil and Chevron Corp., reported on Friday their most profitable quarterly earnings since before the onset of the global pandemic. Exxon reported earnings of $6.8 billion, its best quarterly performance since 2017, and said it would launch a $10 billion share buyback program starting next year. Chevron reported $6 billion in net income, its best quarter since 2013, and said it generated $6.7 billion in free cash flow, its most ever. The industry is reaping rewards of resurgent commodity prices. U.S. crude prices have topped $80 a barrel this month for the first time since 2014. And as the economy emerges from COVID-19-driven stagnation, global energy demand is rebounding faster than anticipated, and global oil production, while still rising, is struggling to catch up with the surge in consumption. And I think the oil price rising is a direct result of the United States kind of cutting back on their production of oil. Although I have seen, I saw a headline today, I can't remember what newspaper or news organization I saw it from, but it was something about President Biden talking about oil, saying that we can't totally pull back yet from oil, that it will hurt the world's poor or something like that. And you know, that's kind of a duh moment. The whole world runs on petroleum. And it's not just the gas you put in your car. It's everything. It's the plastic my podcast rig is made of. It's the rubber that surrounds the coating on the wires that go from my microphone, you know, to the podcast rig and everything else. So oil's here to stay for quite some time, I think. Excuse me. Drinking more coffee. It's early in the morning. Well, sort of. Microsoft. Microsoft again passed it. Microsoft passed Apple in market cap. Again, in the Wall Street Journal, it says Microsoft Corp is once again the most valuable company in the U.S., with software heavyweights market cap topping $2.44 trillion Friday morning and surpassing Apple for the first time in more than a year. Microsoft's better-than-expected earnings report earlier this week was the latest catalyst that pushed the stock higher. Meanwhile, Apple warned on Thursday that supply chain disruptions are hindering iPhone and other product manufacturing. These issues are expected to bring increased challenges during the important holiday shopping quarter. Shares fell Friday, even as the company logged a record 12-month profit nearing $100 billion. The last time Microsoft had a bigger market cap than Apple was July 2020. So they seem to be trading places now, and I wonder how long it's going to take till Tesla passes them up. That'll be weird seeing Tesla, which I still don't think should be bigger than GM or Ford or any of those other companies, pass them up in market cap. Now, I suppose if Tesla started selling off some of their technology or licensing it to the big three, but I guess the big three don't want to pay Tesla, which I think is a mistake, because Tesla has some really cool technology with their cars. And imagine if they all collaborated on some electric car standards that might make adoption pick up a little bit, you know, versus all these differing charging standards and things like that. But I don't know. The big three are always reluctant to help out a new car company, a new competition, which, you know, at this point I think is a bit of a mistake. Let's see here. Black Hills sent out a press release. I didn't put a link to this. Why didn't I put a link to this? That's weird. I didn't put a link to where I got the story, but I believe this was on maybe a press release or from SimplySafeDividends.com. Black Hills, they marked their 51st consecutive annual dividend increase. With a dividend yield of 3.59% and an annual average dividend growth of 5.3%, Black Hills should be an attractive investment to anyone looking for solid returns in a safe and boring industry. Not only did Black Hills announce its 51st annual dividend increase, they also marked their 79th consecutive year of paying dividends to stockholders, to shareholders. Black Hills. Oh, you know why I didn't put where this is linked from? Because I wrote this I wrote this myself based on information I got from other sites. So this is a compilation of news from other sites, and I should have put the links to where I read all of this stuff. Just a brain fart moment. Black Hills Incorporated in 1941, headquartered in Rapid City, South Dakota, operates electric and gas utilities, power generation, and mining facilities in the United States. Their electricity segment provides power to about 216 electric customers in Colorado, South Dakota, and Wyoming. They provide about 990 megawatts of power generation capacity and own approximately 8,900 miles of electric transmission and distribution lines. Their gas segment distributes natural gas to over 1 million natural gas customers in Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Nebraska, and Wyoming. They provide appliance repair services to residential customers and gas infrastructure facilities for gas transportation customers. They own and operate about 4,800 miles of intrastate gas transmission pipelines, 42,000 miles of distribution mains and service lines, 7 natural gas storage sites, and about 49,000 horsepower of compression and 560 miles of gathering lines. Their power generation segment generates electricity through wind, natural gas, and coal-fired plants, and sells to utilities under long-term contracts. Their mining segment owns a coal mine located near Gillette, Wyoming, and sells to electric generation facilities. So for me, Black Hills, I should have pulled this up earlier. Let me head on over to where my portfolios are. Black Hills. Okay, Black Hills. They have a 77 rating on Simply Safe Dividends, so they're a safe. Their dividend is rated as safe. 3.59% dividend yield. Their dividend growth is currently 5.3%. They have a market cap of $4.21 billion. Their price right now is $66.38. I'm holding Black Hills in both my low yield and my medium yield portfolios, which, you know, I'm starting the process a little bit of rebalancing everything still. I'm always reevaluating every holding I have, and I'm trying to eliminate maybe some of the duplicates that I have. And, you know, I had a lot of duplicates in my, or I have a lot of duplicates in my low yield and my medium yield portfolios. And I would like to sort of eliminate that because then I can diversify more across more companies. But it's still, it's a difficult thing to find enough companies that I feel comfortable with that will provide a high enough dividend yield. It's also a relatively, you know, everything's relative, a relatively safe investment in a company that won't, you know, go under or drop their dividend anytime soon. So I do hold this in two portfolios. I have a little over 191 shares, 191.476 shares in Black Hills. Most of it is in my medium yield portfolio, 2/3 of it. So, you know, that needs to be rebalanced at some point. There is an up. I did do some rebalancing on Friday, or was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday. I did this. I pulled the trigger on Thursday, so everything rebalanced on Friday. And what I did was I sold 69 shares of Tompkins Financial, 116 shares of Bank OZK, and 223 shares of Waco Group. And in turn, I purchased 50 shares of AbbVie, 240 shares of CareTrust REIT, Inc., and 226 shares of South Jersey Industries. And those were all in the low yield portfolio, and those changes are reflected on the portfolio page. And the reason I did that is I was just trying to, I got rid of three that were relatively low yield. I mean, they were really low yield at the time. Let me see here. Tompkins Financial. They're rated borderline safe. They're a 2.78% dividend yield and dividend growth of 5.6%. And see, these are all things I should have prepared ahead of time, but I wasn't really ready to podcast this morning, but I had a window of opportunity to do this now, so I did that. Bank OZK, their dividend yield is 2.6%, and they're also rated borderline safe at Simply Safe Dividends. Their dividend growth rate is 15%, so it's very fast. But, you know, I'm trying to get out of these companies that are sort of borderline safe rated at Simply Safe Dividends, move to a safer rating with a better dividend yield in order to increase the growth in the IRA, in my low yield. Okay, so let's see, Waco Group. Whoops, I clicked on the wrong place. Let's see here, Waco Group. So let's go Waco Group. Symbol WYES. Okay, that one also is a borderline safe at 45. Their rating of 45. They're a borderline safe company at Simply Safe Dividends. Dividend yield of 4.21%. Their dividend growth is very slow, 0%. Let's see, dividend safety, borderline safe. Let's see. So the past 5 years, theirs has been slow, 4%. In the last 20 years, 10% fast, their dividend growth. So what I replaced them with is AbbVie. So let's pull up AbbVie. And it's symbol ABBV. AbbVie is rated as safe by SimpliSafe Dividend. Their dividend yield is 4.92%, and their dividend growth is 8.5%. So not only are they're sort of a growth company. Their market cap is $203 billion. And, you know, the higher dividend yield, it's almost double what I dropped in Tompkins Financial. So let's go to, let's see, CareTrust REIT. CTRE is the symbol for that one. Let's see, pull that one up. So CareTrust is also rated as safe. Now it's getting close down to the borderline safe region, but they're still in the safe. They're a mid-cap company, $2.01 billion. Their dividend yield is 5.11% and dividend growth rate at 6%. So that one also is about double Bank OZK in dividend yield, and their growth is solid. Then the next one I'm replacing, let's see, Waco, I replace with South Jersey Industries. That's symbol SJI. That one is only slightly higher than Waco. It's 5.32% dividend yield, but it's also rated safe, not borderline safe, and it's comfortably in the safe range of their rating of 75. Their dividend growth rate is a little bit slow, 2.5%, but I'm willing to be okay with that with the higher dividend yield right now. Let's see their growth rate. So their growth rate for over the last 20 years has been average, 6%. Over the last 5 years, still been slow, 3%, so hopefully that ticks up. But those were the changes I made to that low-yield portfolio, and I've got more that I'm going to do, I think, over the next month. I'm just kind of evaluating and reevaluating and seeing how things go. So let's see, performance-wise, last month. Over the last week, everything took a little bit of a downturn. Last week was a downer. The low-yield portfolio was down 0.21%. It was up for the month of October 3.4% and up for the year 16.86%. Since inception, it's up 30.6%. My medium-yield portfolio was down 0.37%. It's up 2% for the month and up 13% for the year. And since inception, it's up 7.8%. The high yield portfolio was down 1.87% last week. For the month, it's up 4.84%. And for the year, it is down 3.19%. And since its inception, it's down 4.6%. So I'm still recovering a little bit on that one, and it's not that bad. You know, the end of the week was not that great, but up for the month, 4.84%, I'll take it. I received one dividend payment last week. From Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce, $102.90. Today is the day, or maybe tomorrow, when I get the statement, and then I cash out and take my income. Dividend events last week, there was a whole slew of them. Starting with AbbVie, they announced their next dividend of $1.41 per share, an 8.5% increase over their previous payout. Arbor Realty announced their next dividend of 36 cents per share, a 2.9% increase over their previous payout of 35 cents per share. ExxonMobil announced its next dividend of 88 cents per share, a 1.1% increase over their previous payout of 87 cents. And Unilever, let's see, they announced their next dividend of 49.25 cents per share, bringing the company's total payout over the last 12 months up 0.65%. Tompkins Financial, which I just pulled out of, they announced their next dividend of 57 cents per share, a 5.6% increase over their previous payout. Black Hills announced its next dividend of 59.5 cents per share, 5.3% increase over their previous payout. Now, the next whole bunch of these, they announced their next dividends, and they're all in line with their previous payouts. Cullen Frost, their next dividend is 75 cents per share. Chevron, its next dividend, $1.34 per share. IBM, $1.64 per share. Albemarle, 39 cents per share. Omega, 67 cents per share. Oasis, 56 cents per share. Ares Capital, 41 cents per share. Smucker, 99 cents per share. Cross America Partners, 52.5 cents per share. Johnson & Johnson, $1.06 per share. Con Ed, 77.5 cents per share. Coca-Cola, 42 cents per share. Shell Midstream, let's see, they are 30 cents per share. Kinder Morgan, 27 cents per share. First Source Corporation at 31 cents per share. All this information is on the website. They're all in the show notes. And a reminder, this is a podcasting 2.0 compatible podcast. This is a solely independent project so I can keep track of my own portfolios. And this is a self-hosted podcast using WordPress and PowerPress from Blueberry, blueberry.com. That's B-U-L-B-R-R-Y, I think, .com. Let's see. Since this is podcasting 2.0 compatible, it means if you're listening to this on a podcasting 2.0 compatible app, you'll have access to transcripts, chapters, chapter images that accompany each episode. Go to newpodcastapps.com to download and support new independent podcast apps and get yourself a better podcast app. You can go to podcastindex.org to support the effort to keep podcasting open and free to support podcasting 2.0. This is a value for value podcast, and you can use some of the new podcast apps to support independent podcasters. And that means you can stream Bitcoin or fractions of Bitcoin to your favorite podcaster. And feel free to give what's called a boostagram, a boost, where if you hear something you like or you want to send the podcaster a message, you can send a little bit of extra, like a, I don't know what you would call that, sort of like a, it's not like a tip, but it's more like sort of like an extra little thank you for something that you heard or an idea that you got or something you found funny or whatever. And a lot of times, or even a complaint, you know, you can send a complaint, and it, if you send it in the form of a boostagram, the podcaster might actually appreciate it and read it, because it's not just unsolicited advice. It's kind of a pay your podcaster for, hey, fix this, please. ChasingTheYield.com, my website, and myself, Kevin Bay. I am not a registered investment advisor, broker, or dealer. I may have positions in any financial instrument, product, or company mentioned on the website or on the podcast. Information provided by the website or the podcast are provided for information and entertainment purposes only and are not intended as advice or a recommendation or an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any security or financial instrument. All opinions are based upon sources believed to be accurate and provided in good faith. No warranty, representation, or guarantee expressed or implied is made as to the accuracy of the information contained. Past performance is not an indicator of future results, so if I'm doing well, it doesn't mean you'll do well, and if I'm doing poorly, that doesn't mean that you'll do poorly. So please, if you have any questions at all regarding an investment, contact an investment professional. You can email me at mail, M-A-I-L, at chasingtheyield.com. I also have links to my social media sites and the email on the website in the show notes. And that is it for this week. Let me check and see. The market has opened. Let's see what we're doing right now. So at 9:43 a.m. on November 1st, the Dow is up 0.49%. S&P is up 0.19%, NASDAQ is up 0.11%, and the Russell 2000 is down 0.03%. So the market has opened up, and of course my portfolios, let's see how those are doing. Pop open these suckers. Start off, let's see, my high yield is up 0.3%, medium is up 0.4%, and low is up 0.4%. So things are doing well first thing in the morning. So that's it for today. I'll talk to you next week. Happy November to you. Bye-bye.